Hi, this is Tom Field. I'm here with Dr. Phyllis Schneck, who's the Vice President and Director of Threat Intelligences for the Americas with McAfee. Phyllis, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Very interested in the trends that you're seeing in security and specifically in the government area. What would be some of the top security issues that you and your customers are seeing right now?
So taking a step back as we look at trends, part of what we see as a company and as an industry is the need for more intelligent tracking of security and understanding rather than this sort of hit or miss, or as the industry calls it, whack-a-mole. Go get the threat and then wait until the next one doesn't hit you in the nose as you're getting the last one. What we look at McAfee is in a cloud-to-endpoint strategy. So if you notice with the McAfee suite, all of our products talk to each other. They call interlocked. You can protect a customer all the way in the cloud, at their own network edge, all the way to their actual desktop, laptop, in some cases on a mobile use. What we look at is how all those products work together and then how to make them smarter. So anytime something McAfee, whether it's a piece of software, hardware, carrier pigeon, it talks to a big database distributed many times across the world. And it says, not what do you see coming at me, but who brought it? So a reputation score or a probability, if you will, of being a threat to the customer. And in the database, a lot of things happen at that point. The database says, oh, look who this person is trying to talk to. Is it a good guy, a bad guy? And the entity it's looking at could be a URL, an IP, but anything on the internet. And at the same time, just after that, the McAfee instance, the carrier pigeon or the appliance or the software, gets a threat level back. It's all numeric, it's all quantified, it's a vector. So it's a score or a probability of your being a threat to our customer. Nothing from a privacy perspective, no content, simply numbers. And in those numbers are baked in over 15 years of malware analysis and the famous McAfee Artemis database, 6.2 terabytes across three networks and 6 years of reputation threat analysis from the secure computing database. Analysis from a company that McAfee just bought called Endeavor, which can bring back instruction sets in malware and show you not only who sent it, because the zombie really doesn't know. You don't really know what your laptop does at night when you sleep. But the person who created those instructions, the captain in the mafia, if you will, you put all that together, reputation and risk, 15 years of analysis and malware, correlation across several gateways, and we see the cyber activity, good and bad, across the internet. Not only where you live, but who you talk to, again, numerically. So at any given time, any point on the internet, any entity, any IP address, to McAfee as a credit score, a risk of threat. So if you take that, just the intelligence piece, we have a symbiotic system, a whole set of products, cloud to endpoint, that feed the system and get smarter from it. If I protect somebody here in Phoenix, Arizona, or in San Francisco, immediately the person in Sydney, Australia is also smarter because the database has been updated. And everything that touched, everything that those two touched, this happens 24/7. If I think about just the intelligence piece, global threat intelligence, what McAfee helps do is look at the trends, as you asked about, where is security going? So you think about critical infrastructure. 15,000 people came to San Francisco this week, or I hear it might be more from the cab drivers, to look at cybersecurity. Cybersecurity is important not because we go whack the next worm, but really because we keep the lights on. The communications infrastructure is what keeps the lights on, the energy flowing, the transportation running, the water running, the banks moving, the ATMs giving you the cash to go out after RSA parties. It keeps life moving. And our job as cybersecurity professionals is to understand how to stay ahead to make sure that those critical infrastructures are resilient. So the trend is taking intelligence, that situational awareness from the industry, helping to put it into the security that we need to build in for better critical infrastructure resiliency, and also looking and staying proactive, no more whack-a-mole, staying proactive at where is the electronic activity across the planet? How does that affect the power grid, rapidly becoming the smart grid? How does that affect remote monitoring of critical infrastructure that's now connected to very proprietary, little understood control systems, very complicated systems, are now connected to remote IP systems so that we can monitor remotely. Again, that's a good thing, but they inherit all the vulnerabilities that we have on our laptops every day. That's a bad thing. So our trend is to use that global data, situational awareness, so that you know all about the threat, not just what it contains, because you may not recognize it, but know who made you, who sent you, who they play with, who they talk to, and know it in real time. And the government concurrently is about to actually complete a 60-day review of cyber, as I'm sure you've heard.
Which we're going to hear about today.
We will. I believe that's at 2 o'clock with Ms. Hathaway. There's been so much outreach on that to the private sector, to NGOs. The government is really, if you talk about a trend, really setting the stage for increased outreach, increased openness, and top of the list, increased priority on cybersecurity. You know, going forward, taking a leadership role in infrastructure resilience globally really means making a commitment to secure the cyber and telecommunications and secure those infrastructures. And I think another trend is taking that global intelligence and moving it, taking it not only to support our appliances that keep them smarter, but taking the intelligence itself and putting it in different levels in the network. For example, one of the biggest problems that I would say is on the internet today is that I can send anything I want and it will get there. The internet fabric needs to be smart enough and smarter so that when a bad guy crosses the street, a sinkhole opens up and the bad guy goes away. Not just because it leaves more room for good traffic, but because it actually creates more room for emergency traffic in a time of crisis. And it also, this is key, reduces the profit model of botnets. We would like to see botnet unemployment in our lifetime of activity. Meaning if you can't ship the malicious traffic, they'll stop doing it. They will migrate to another threat vector, but this is at least one where we can get a handle on it by making the communications infrastructure, again, more resilient and smarter. And it all goes back to understanding your entire weather map of security, not just opening the front door to see if it's raining. And I happen to live in Atlanta, and storms travel with the traffic down I-20. They come east to us. So a lot of times you want to look, if you want to know what to pack for, prepare for in Atlanta, you look at what Birmingham has. That'll be your weather in 2 hours. And then you look at what's over the Midwest. So it's the radar of the whole world that you need.
Interesting you mentioned government, because I've observed that government is sort of the subtopic of this entire event. I think it's a tone the administration has set, and it permeates the discussions that we have here.
I think there are two reasons that the government permeates security discussions right now. One is, the amazing amount of outreach that came from not only having the Comprehensive National Cyber Initiative begin, but having this additional 60-day review that Ms. Hathaway has done, a tremendous amount of outreach, and of course her traveling out here to address the crowd today. But the other side, most of this is about partnership. Private industry owns, you've heard the numbers, so pick one between 85 and 95% of the critical infrastructure.
Right.
We need to work together with government to incentivize private industry to invest good security from the ground up. The government, from that perspective, we need to look at how we have more leadership from the top. Remember the old discussions about 10 years ago when you looked at the new role of the Chief Information Security Officer, maybe 15 years ago? And the wisdom, which is still true today, said that person needs blessing from the top. The who's in charge question in cybersecurity needs to be answered in the U.S. And then that will resonate throughout the world, setting a trend, as you asked about trends for cybersecurity, for having that top-down endorsement which will percolate down to make this a priority. Because for our safety and our critical infrastructures, that's where it's going to resonate. And then finally, good old-fashioned finances. It's been said in the press in several places, and the numbers have been passed around, the amount of investment in dollars that the government is said to be making in cybersecurity. And of course, that gets the attention of security vendors. But at the same time, it's good attention to the world. It says this is a very big problem with a solution if we work together.
But Phyllis, tell us a bit about your role at McAfee, specifically what you do and then the customers that you interact with.
I run threat intelligence for the Americas as far as the application of the intelligence layer. So my background is high-performance computing, getting too much out of a CPU for cryptography. Taking that background and looking at how we process the data, I was on the team that helped develop part of this, but now really reaching a little bit further into the critical infrastructure side and looking at and on the customer side and going out and explaining what it means to have that data, interpreting their part of the data for them. For example, if you are acompany.com, being very generic, we can give you the slice of our several terabyte database that has to do with you. Interpret that for the customer, show them that we're seeing that customers really do want to know how our footprint sees them. We are 160 million points of presence at McAfee. And our customers, if you think, we are the largest pure play security company and footprint in the world. that database is a very good, it's like looking in the mirror. Mm. You can wake up in the morning, you know, I can be about to walk out of the house and think I look okay, and then take a step back and you actually look in the mirror and get the real thing. Many times showing a profile of what is coming out network-wise of your company to a company shows them how their behavior is seen to the world. It's an eye-opener. The other thing we're seeing from a lot of companies is they would like to understand how cyber activity is a predictor, if you will, or proactive indicator of other infrastructure activity. Activity on the energy grid, for example. Electricity powers all that is communications. So we have customers in certain areas asking us, are there predictive signs, right, in cyber activity? And we don't know the full answers to this yet, but we're leading this charge so they come to us because we have the footprint to show them. Is there a way to see a potential event in one infrastructure by seeing an event in another, since we know there are so many dependencies?
Very good. Now, what do you hear specifically to be talking with people about at this event?
I spoke yesterday as a moderator of a panel, brought in three just amazing experts, and I'm not advertising because it's over, but the one gentleman had been the private sector lead for the entire nuclear sector for the National Infrastructure Protection Plan. He's now with NERC. One gentleman is the Chief Information Security Officer of Colorado and had built the entire information security program for Denver International Airport, also leading them to the Democratic Convention last summer. Spoke about incidents in both cases. Both gentlemen spoke about incidents where a cyber event can cause a terrible consequence in a physical infrastructure, whether or not it's intended. There doesn't always have to be a witted adversary. It could be as easy as an accident. And the third panelist to balance it out is a former FEMA federal coordinator, and he's the gentleman that used to come in and clean it up. So you had a good balance of here's the threat, here's what happens in response, with the middle line being what we want, the resiliency. So that's what I came here to speak about, in addition to speaking with a lot of our customers and learning more about how they see actually the trends.
They spend a lot of time in government. What would you say government is doing particularly well in information security right now that the private industry could take some tips from?
So just backing up, I have never worked for the government. So I ran the InfraGuard program on the private sector side, raising that from 2,000 members to 30,000 over 8 years. That was a volunteer position as chairman of the National Board of Directors. Completely volunteer. I had a private sector job the whole time so that I could eat and buy gas. But what we learned in that is the value in community. You need to know who to call. You can't wait for a crisis to figure out who you can reach out to, both in the private sector as well as in government. My strong recommendation and lessons learned from that experience is you should always know, whether it's the FBI or the Secret Service or someone more local in your community, you should have those relationships now as a critical infrastructure owner and operator. And I keep coming back to critical infrastructure because that's why McAfee has threat intelligence, to protect that. That's what cybersecurity protects. And I think the other lesson a lot of us have learned in government, and there are hundreds of people working on this, is the value in trust, partnership, not just 1-800 agency, but picking up a phone or a cell phone and calling Bill and having a relationship. Because in a time of crisis, and even in a time of just learning and building out your infrastructure, that wisdom, people call it information sharing, but really it's trust. It's humans getting together and sharing expertise, subject matter expertise, across sectors, and sometimes across borders, and as best we can, transcending competition across companies. So it's the need for trust, the need for partnership, and finally, the need for community. And so every part of our country and every part of the world has a different focus on what's important to them. If you come out here to the West, you have border patrol issues, you have water issues. You know, if you go to the Midwest, it's agriculture more focused, and certainly the Northeast, financial. But in each of those pockets, you have some commonality. You have cyber, you have the need for that community response, the need to be able to reach out to people you trust, and the need to partner between government and private sector. And I know that the phrase public-private partnership is old and being worn out. I don't believe in sitting down at a portal and trying to, quote, do information sharing. We have learned, in many cases, the harder way. It is all about trust. And that's something in our culture I think is important to note at McAfee. We are very much a partner to our customers and to our government customers as well. You know, they call us and say, what do you do about this? What do you see? they call us as a partner and say, can you help us through this? Our CEO is investing company money, not for profit, but in just to get help to consumers in cybercrime. Because there's so much identity theft, cybercrime related to the internet. We are very much a partner, and that's our culture from the top down.
Well, last question for you then, Phyllis. For customers and prospective customers that can't be here at this event, what are the things you'd like them to be thinking about in terms of security over the next several months?
May I expand that out to security over the next several months and the next several years?
Sure.
Think of it as not buying a product and installing it somewhere. Think about your whole security vision and how if you make a small investment now, you invest in something that can be connected to something later. And think about the importance of, again, when you look out your window, you see locally, but you can be protected globally. And think about the need for intelligence everywhere, baked into the internet communications fabric, as well as at your edge, so that things that are happening elsewhere around the world are protecting you without your lifting a finger.
Phyllis, appreciate your time and your insight today.
Thank you very much.